Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Do you know that we're going on close to 10 years strong, alhamdulillah, and that we're around our 500th episode of the Dean Show, and I thank everybody who's been supporting and tuning in with no breaks. We've been continuous, alhamdulillah, continue to support the program, and with no exception today, we have an exciting program. We're going to be talking about dating in Islam. Dating? Yeah. Didn't you know that? The halal dating way, that you set a date and you meet the mahram and you tie the knot. But what's stopping people from tying the knot in today's day and age? It used to be a time it was quite simple. Nikah, very easy process, very quick too. But there's a big dilemma now. Somebody is here in the studio that is on the ground at the meet and greets, a coordinator who's going to be giving us the insight, his insight here in the Deen Show when we come back so we can benefit. And hopefully we can solve some of these dilemmas that we're having and people can end up tying the knot in a halal way. We'll see you in a second. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show. This is the Deen, the Deen Show. This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is 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 the Deen Show.
Welcome back to the Deen Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How you doing, Brother Jay?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks.
Now, people are out there who go to the El Maghrib seminars. That's the guy in the front row. Is that you?
Sometimes.
So you attend frequently all of the Maghrib seminars?
Yeah, I'm working towards getting a bachelor's degree, inshallah, in the next year and a half.
You want to give Maghrib a plug?
Yeah.
What's Maghrib? Some people are like, what is this?
Al Maghrib is an institute that gives you basic knowledge on Islam in a very interactive, fun, educational manner. And I've been actively involved for the last 2 years, traveling all over the country.
You got a sheikh, good sheikh coming in. Sheikh Wali Basuni, he's got the fiqh of fasting. That's coming up now, isn't it?
Yes, in 3 days.
In 3 days?
Friday, yeah.
Hopefully this will be out before then. People can benefit now. People are like, okay, I mentioned tying the knot. I mentioned the halal dating, set a date, meet the mahram, meet and greet. You're a part of your Chicago coordinator. We see you at the events where they have the Hafar Deen with Baba Ali. You know Baba?
Yes, I know Baba Ali. I work with the people that they have that come in.
Yeah.
So I'm the Chicago contact for Hafar Deen. I've been helping out for the last 3 years. So whenever they have an on-site event, typically once or twice a year, I help with anything they need, advertising, marketing, anything for the Chicago location.
Now, what is Hafar Deen? What is this? Because we know Hafar Deen is a complete the faith. What is this organization trying to do?
So Hafar Deen has two main components to it. I'm not the expert or the one running the show. I'm supporting the Chicago contact. But basically, they have two things. They have the on-site matrimonial site where people pay monthly to post their profile. And then if anyone's interested in them, they will communicate online, and it's protected and private. And Baba Ali has created that. And based on what he's seen in the past, he's tried to make it excellent and perfect the matrimonial scene.
Yeah.
And then they have the second component, which I'm a part of when it comes to Chicago, which is the on-site where we have people meeting and greeting from all over the country, sometimes the world. They come into Chicago, and we try to have equal number of men and equal number of women. Let's just say 60-60. And then we do interactive questioning, deal breaker questions, and making a little bit game interactive, and something more than what they do, a lot of matrimonials do, which is a major mistake, which is called speed dating. So we don't do that. It's more, they talk, they get to know each other in a halal environment. And then men will move from table to table so that they're able to meet as many opposite potential matches as possible.
So tell us now, what is going, we know that, okay, many people, they want to get married, and one of the wisdoms behind marriage is to protect society, protect yourself, because it's natural to be attracted to the opposite gender and to come together in a way that's acceptable by the Creator, because we know all of this, the ramifications when people go out and they become promiscuous and immorality takes over and the society gets destroyed. So this organization and yourself, you're trying to help facilitate men and women coming together in the pure way, in marriage. So how do you see now being on the ground when people come to these meet and greets? What's the success rate?
I don't have the exact success rate, but I know that there's been the last few events that helped out. There's been a few people that were able to get engaged. I think there's one or two that were able to get married, which is not bad for a small meet and greet sessions that they've had. But the issue I'm seeing a lot of times is that people are not preparing for marriage. They're jumping into it without getting the proper knowledge and resources to be able to find somebody and then staying married.
Okay, there's something we got to take a break, but we really want to get into some, we want to keep it real and get into some things that you've seen that are hindering people from getting married. One of them is pursuit of education, and the woman or man, they end up getting past their prime, and then that's it, you miss the boat. And then there's all sorts of other things along
yes.
with this that we're going to be covering that we can hopefully dissect and give some practical solutions here with Brother Jay on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. And you mentioned one thing, not being prepared, just jumping in blindly, right?
Yes.
You don't, how come, why do you think most of the time when we take something seriously via a job, you prepare for a test, you prepare for it, but you're saying that most people aren't preparing themselves for this great endeavor?
Yeah, it kind of confuses me a little bit because, yeah, exactly what you said. When somebody wants a job, they'll do everything, get the education, and they'll prepare for interviews, and they'll ask people on LinkedIn or whatever, hey, you know, help me get a job. So what I'm seeing a lot of times is when people want to get married, they're getting married for the sake of getting married because everyone's telling them, oh, it's time to get married. When they do choose to get married, they're just doing it, and there's not preparation. And I think that's part of the responsibility that we have. But I think the other component is our leaders in the Muslim community. They're starting to create the resources now in the seminars, but still there's a big lack that they're not creating pre-marriage workshops, counseling sessions, and so forth. That there's a more of a reaction that when people do get divorced, the leaders will get a little bit more involved. But prior to that, like being more preemptive, there's not enough support there, and then people are not reaching out and pushing for the demand so our leaders can step up and meet that demand.
So it's not like just jump out of a plane and I'll figure it out, or get to the airport and then you don't have your visa stamp. You're not going, I mean, I'll figure it out when I get there.
No. Exactly. There's no planning, and it's just like, okay, you know, if I get married, all my problems are going to be resolved, and that's just not realistic.
Yeah. Or you pick up a lot of bad habits from your parents, possibly. Maybe dad treated mom right. Mom was terrorizing dad, or dad was terrorizing mom.
Exactly.
Bad akhlaq, bad character. And now you just pick up those traits and think you got it. But no, you got to fix those up according to the deen.
Exactly. I mean, my specialty is emotional intelligence and self-development. And using those skills that I've gained over the last 15 years, I've realized that people, they are taking their mom and the marriage. Our parents, I mean, let's just say I love my mom and dad. And there, you know, there's no one else that I'd want to be my mom and dad. But the fact of the matter is many of our mom and dads are first generation immigrants from different countries, and they may not always have the education and the wisdom to teach us how to get married in this country. You know, so it's a brand new experience for us and them, and they're just trying to survive being in this country, not giving us the skills that we need beyond our food, water, and shelter.
Yeah, no doubt. Probably most people pick up some good things, but there's a lot of bad baggage now that we need to go ahead and test with the deen, if it's and that requires continuous education.
Exactly.
Right? Like anything we do. Tell us now, another thing is brothers getting, you mentioned a lot of brothers getting cold feet, running away from marriage, and women, what did you mean, missing their prime?
Yeah, so for men, what I've experienced is many men are, there's this, if men choose to get married, you know, they go for it, and that's the minority. But the majority of men, what they're doing is they're scared of commitment, or there's this thing where if there's somebody that's interested in them, or they're being pushed to say, hey, you know, this girl might be good for you, They have this mentality where the grass is greener on the other side, that there's something better out, so they'll wait, or they're fearing commitment because, you know, they're not making enough money, they haven't gone to college, or if they do go to college, they haven't finished college, or they don't have a business or some sort of skill to make enough money. There's a lot of pressure on them to financially provide. So there's that fear of financial stability, the lack of it, and then there's that fear that if I choose this person, what if I want somebody else? Or what if somebody else is better for me 5 years down the line? So there's that fear of committing to somebody and potentially being trapped or cornered and like, oh, I can't second, they second guess themselves. So there's this emotional immaturity with a lot of men that a lot of women are complaining about that I see as one of the top reasons why men are not getting married or committing to getting married.
So you see men are scared of commitment?
They're scared of commitment and it's like one of those biggest secrets that they have out there that they're not sharing. They'll use any excuse or say anything, but really it's a fear of commitment.
I mean, it's easy just to, and women need to be not naive to this, that men will just go ahead and use a woman, right? Tell her those sweet nothings and they don't have to commit there. Give her everything she wants as far as what she wants to hear, but at the end of the day, use and abuse, and then she's out like yesterday's newspaper.
Exactly. The essence of marriage is a protection for men and women, but what I've learned, and our dean talks about this, marriage protects the woman, and if the woman, God forbid, gets pregnant, prior to marriage, it protects her kids and it protects her if they're married. If they're not married, then there's not really that responsibility that the man has for his, let's say, which is haram, girlfriend, or the baby out of wedlock, which is happening a lot now.
That's happening a lot. And
in our community.
Yeah, and that's the worst thing a woman can do now. Not to say it's the end of the world. I mean, God Almighty, Allah is the most merciful and forgiving. But one of the worst things either can do, men or women, is to go ahead and give this special thing up before marriage.
Exactly.
And you have a lot of predators out there, and women are just so fragile, that fragile vessel. Marriage, it's really beautiful. It safeguards that woman's chastity, the man's chastity, but really the woman, from falling into something. And then at the end of the day, now it becomes even harder. Do you see a lot of women now? Because it's sad to say, most of the times men will look at it as a stud, if he's not in Islam, but just in the culture. If he's dating multiple women, he's the Hugh Hefner. But women, now it's even changing. Women are trying to imitate men and be like, the man, and they'll just hop around from different partners.
Yeah, I think on the woman end, I tend to be a little bit more merciful on the woman end more than the men's end because of what I've seen. But what's happening on the woman end is a couple things they're doing. Number one, they're delaying their marriage because they want to finish school, or they're getting a lot of pressure from their parents saying, look, you need to finish school, be a nurse, be a doctor, whatever the case is. Finish school, get a career, and then get married, almost as if it's an insurance policy of, just in case. Which I think, I understand where they're coming from, but I think it's creating a problem because then it pushes a lot of women to get married in their early 30s, mid-30s, late 20s, which is not necessarily bad, but if you want to have kids and get it within a certain time frame, there's a time limit to having kids. And there's more complications as you get older. So number one, women are delaying marriage because of the fear of divorce or the pressure of society and parents to finish school and get a career. And the second thing that a lot of women are doing is they're being unrealistic and they're having very high expectations on men. And they're having these unrealistic expectations that less than 1% of men can fulfill. So it puts them in a situation where they delay their marriage much longer than they need to.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, so much to talk about. We're going to get back with some stories, some real stories, and we're going to go elaborate on what's this prime thing, with women that we're hearing. Again, all in the essence of benefiting, so we can go ahead and change and alter some of the things that we're doing so we can have a better result tomorrow. More with Brother Jay here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. When I opened up, I talked about dating. People are like, what? Dating in Islam? Yeah, set up a date, meet the mahram, do everything the right way. But no, we got true stories. Brothers, I'm talking to a brother, and he says, look, he's been dating this girl for years. He loves her. I said, man, why don't you just marry her, right? He said, my mom will kill me because she's not yet Muslim. I said, oh, man, talk to her about the deen, right? Enrich her. with the purpose of life. And from here, I mean, you could be getting paid for it, meaning with barakah, meaning with the blessings, but you're doing it in the haram way, not the halal way. And then I mentioned to him, I said, look, you're not questioning, your mom's going to kill you, I guess because she's not from the same region, maybe Palestine or whatever the case, or she's not from the same town, tribe. So I said, look, you wouldn't ask your mom when you want to go do something haram, when you want to do something that's displeasing to the Creator, you don't get her permission. But why do people, they go ahead and now they need their permission to do something halal? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
What are your comments on that?
I mean, the thing is, what I've seen is there's kind of this backwardness in society where, you're right, I mean, people, when they do haram, they don't care about what people think. And then when they want to do halal, they want all these permissions and all that. I think a lot of times it could be many things, right? I don't want to sit there and limit it to one or two things. But if I had to choose, and what I've seen a lot of times is there's a form of manipulation that people use where when they're doing something halal, they find all these excuses that they need all these permissions and all these restrictions and reasons. And so it forces them to, I tried to do something good. It didn't work out. And now they become a victim of circumstance, and they're using circumstance as being responsible instead of them being responsible. So there's this lack of responsibility and accountability that we are doing in our life. We're forcing other people, and this is why I used to be very active as a mentor. I'm not as active anymore because I found a lot of the mentees that I was mentoring made me responsible for their decisions. You know, after I was like, what do you want to do? And they'll do a decision, and then if it doesn't work out or not the way they want to, they'll blame me. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times there's this blame society.
Yeah, talk about this prime. I mean, it's a reality that now it's a sad reality, but we're keeping it real here that, say, a woman, she spent her whole life chasing the career, and now she's, 20 or 29, 30 and above, and you see this live now. You're there at the sessions that men, they overlook this one. Why? Because they say she's past her prime. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think what happens is there's just fear on both ends. You know, on the guy's end, there's that commitment. And then on the female end, they're like, okay, well, they're second-guessing themselves. So I think both sides, men and women, what happens is men will manipulate the situation by not committing or finding reasons not to commit. And then women will find reasons, this guy is not good enough, or they'll find a reason where he's not religious enough, or he's not a scholar or a sheikh, which very few of the men are, and or saying, well, I need to finish my degree because what if it doesn't work out? So they don't commit. So there's a manipulation going on both ends where they're playing a game saying it's your fault, but really they're not taking accountability for their decisions and commitments or even choosing to, complete half their deen.
Yeah. So what happens now, like for the woman, we talked about the men, who she's just, parents are also pushing education, 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 education. At the end of the day, now she's finished all her education, and we're seeing this now. She can't get married.
Yeah, what's happening a lot of times, and a lot of the women don't realize this, is when the men are ready to get married, let's just say they're 32 years old, right, and they're ready to get married, a lot of the men, realistically speaking, they're looking for females who are ready to get married at 25, 26, or so forth. So a lot of these other females who might have taken longer to get their education and wanted to be a doctor, whatever the case is, they're hitting their mid-30s, or even late 20s, mid-30s, early 30s. And so there's a lot more women who want to get married, they're much younger, they're in college, whatever, and they're trying to get married. And I've seen this, like recently, one of the matrimonial on-site locations where there was a girl that came in, she was ready to get married, she was second, third year in college, she was 20 years old, and there were like at least 10 men waiting in line to talk to her. And then I saw a lot of these other females who finished their degree, they're in their career, they're very successful from a worldly dunya point of view, and they have like no guy talking to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like this young 20-year-old girl, she was emotionally mature enough to realize, look, I'm going to finish my degree, but I want to find somebody too, and it's going to take time. And so she was able to get engaged. As far as I know now, she's on the stage of getting married. And then these other females, from what I've seen, many of them still haven't been able to even find a person. If they do, it's somebody like much senior than them or somebody from a different country.
Yeah, we're seeing it's really growing in the UK. This problem is growing. It's not decreasing. Where the woman has chased her career, and there's nothing wrong. Obviously, Islam encourages that. But at the same time, I mean, half our deen is marriage. So now this dilemma happens. The woman can't. They say, and I know this is very sensitive for some people, but the reality on the ground is something that we need to know.
But Islam alters. We see in the UK that now these women are—they're actually requesting. They want the sheikhs, the leaders, to advocate for them, to call out these other brothers, because this is actually a mercy for the women. Mm-hmm. That now the only one who's going to step up are the real men, the men who are mm-hmm. already, you know, have a family, okay, to take on another responsibility. Otherwise, to protect these women from falling into zina and other things that now that can destroy their deen.
Yeah, I mean, I see it happening a lot. I mean, a couple quick things I want to say about that. Number one, I know in America you're only allowed to marry one wife, and I'm married to one wife. I'm happily married. You know, I'm not considering for myself personally to marry more than the one wife I have. But I think in certain situations that possibly, like in the UK, where there's a lot more females, or even certain parts of America where there's a lot more females than men, I can see, as long as it's not going against the local law, that there's a way to kind of bridge the gap. I mean, even with non-Muslims, they say in New York, there's 1 million more females than men, you know, mm-hmm. More women than men. And so I think that it's becoming a huge epidemic with that, and also many men who are interested in only men, homosexuals, yeah. and all that stuff. There's less men available for these women who are available age group to get married. Yeah. So I think there's an epidemic all over. There's many ways to look at options to resolve this, and that could be one, possibly.
Yeah, we know it's in Islam, it's clear, you know, Christianity is clear, Judaism, husband and wife, man and woman come together to raise a healthy family. And this alternative, actually, have you heard of this? And it's interesting mm-hmm. that you have the not yet Muslims out there who've actually taken this. Have you heard of this show, Sister Wives?
Sister Wives.
We're going to go to a clip real quick. Let the people know okay. what we're talking about.
You're about to meet a man who has four wives, and they'll all say they're one big happy family.
And next here tonight, the news about polygamy and whether a man can live with more than one wife. To be clear, it's absolutely illegal in this country to have a marriage license with more than one person at one time. But a big court decision coming out of Utah seems to say it's okay if you just skip the official piece of paper.
We're not talking about this.
What does it mean for these girls to be your girlfriends?
We're talking about this!
I believe in living this lifestyle.
We know them as reality TV stars on the hit show Sister Wives.
I wouldn't want anything else.
But now, Hollywood's most famous polygamists have taken on a new, unlikely role as legal crusaders, embroiled in a courtroom fight over the fate of polygamy.
Are you prepared to take this all the way to the Supreme Court if you have to?
Absolutely.
It is an epic battle. Cody Brown and all those wives, Mary, Janelle, Robin, and Christine, against the state of Utah.
We're moving so we can stay a family. We're going to move in 3 days.
After the family flaunted their plural lifestyle on TV, authorities went after them, and the Browns fled Utah for Nevada.
It's brain damage to move this group.
Then they sued, claiming a First Amendment right to live how they want to live.
It was really an issue of freedom of expression, freedom of love. Anybody should be able to organize their family according to how they choose.
And they won the first American polygamy ruling in more than 130 years. A federal judge siding with them in December, declaring a key part of Utah's polygamy law unconstitutional. Cody Brown can openly live with his wives just as long as there is only one marriage license. And Cody is only legally married to Mary Brown. The others are his spiritual wives.
It's nice, though, to not have the word felon attached to our names.
Thousands of people living plural marriage in Utah now are free.
So in this clip, you saw that now they actually went to the court and actually won the case.
While they've been public about their lifestyle for some time, they've always worried that Joe could face arrest under the state's anti-polygamy laws. But in December, that became less likely. A federal judge ruled that a law banning unlawful cohabitation goes against the right to freedom of religion. While the main branch of the Mormon faith banned polygamy in the 1890s, the Dagas are members of one of the offshoots that continue the practice.
As long as it's adults freely choosing what they want, then I don't feel like it would be my place to tell somebody else you can't choose to love who you love.
I think you're going to start seeing more people like us become more public. I've had many of our friends and relatives that have said, you know, I could just tell people at work who I am now.
Regarding this, and they got this gentleman, he's got four families that he's taking care of. So this is actually a mercy.
This is 28-year-old Isaiah and his two wives.
28-year-old Marlene, and 20-year-old Becca.
So you two have been married for how long?
10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. And you two have been married for how long?
Us three have been married for about a year and a half.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Marlene and Isaiah married young. Both were only 18, but committed to living in a plural marriage.
If Isaiah would have told me that he didn't want this before we got married, I wouldn't have married him.
Vice versa.
After 8 years of living in monogamy, they were joined by a second wife, Becca.
So what happened with you, Becca?
One day I was in church, and I was sitting with my sister Sharon, and I saw him walk through the door. I had a feeling just come over me, and I turned to Sharon and I said, yeah, that's who I feel like I belong to.
At 19, Becca married Isaiah and Marlene. As I watch the three of them, laughing, joking, and making sushi, they make it look so easy. They could be the poster family for polygamy. And I have to wonder, did they always get along this well?
It kind of messed with my head a little bit. I mean, we're so different, you know? I mean, I'm tall, she's short, she's blonde, I'm brunette.
Would you characterize it as kind of a little envy or jealousy initially?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's absolutely jealousies to work through. I think it's a normal human emotion.
You know, we ask people, what other solution do you have?
You can't look at it from sharing your man aspect. You have to look at it like joining the family. Like, her kids are my kids, and if I couldn't have kids, I would still have kids. If he was gone, I wouldn't be alone. I would have her, you know? And so it's a lot more than just being jealous over your man, you know? Because that's nothing compared to what you have.
For this growing epidemic.
If it is for me and if I'm willing to do that, I feel like I have every right.
To watch over and protect us.
As far as just our interaction, the kids have all been raised all together as a family, and they just interact really well together. They're siblings and they love each other, and it just works really well.
This young family has redefined what a happy marriage can look like.
Oh, I really do love her.
She treats me like a wife, you know? She wants the same for me that she wants for herself. And I don't know, she's a huge blessing.
You talk about 1 million extra here, we got to do maybe another show if people would like to see us talk more about this.
So here it goes. I'm coming back from an event a few months ago, and my driver is from Pakistan, and we're chatting. You know how taxi drivers like to chat. He's telling me about his first wife who just came over from Pakistan. She's really young, she's got two toddlers, and I'm empathizing a lot. I'm telling him the story about, you know, she just needs to integrate, she needs to get more friends and chat, and so we get on very, very well. The very end of the journey, so we get back to my house in Brooklyn, he says, would you like to be my second wife? And so I never ever thought about polygamy until that actual moment. And the trouble is, he was so incredibly good looking that I actually considered it.
Let us know. But at the end of the day, now we're almost out of time. What else have you seen that you think is something that is relevant now that we can people can benefit from your experience?
If you pray 5 times a day and you wear a hijab and you think that's important, and then you marry a man that doesn't want you to wear a hijab and wants you just to stay home and to not do anything, you have to marry someone that's within your religious level. If you pray 5 times a day, marry someone that prays 5 times a day and or willing to learn to pray 5 times a day.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamualaikum
warahmatullahi. And there you have it from someone on the ground at the meet and greets coordinator for Half Hour Deen here in Chicago. And when you have a connection with the one who created you, your maker, the one who sustained you, takes care of you, want to please him, Half Your Deen is completed. So you didn't get permission now to go ahead and do the haram, to do the things that are displeasing to the Creator. Now, when you want to do some halal, take the necessary steps and go ahead and achieve it. And don't let anyone stand in your way. As long as you're doing the right, taking the right course of action, and you're doing it to please your Creator. And this is the way that you please your Creator, is completing half of your deen. Stay away from the dating of your co-worker at work, and you're monkeying around, messing around, and at the end of the day, you're having fun in the wrong way. But now, when it comes to protecting your chastity, your deen, what
You're throwing everything, all these morals and all the teachings out of the window. Don't let that happen to you. Don't get tripped and trapped by the pimp Shaitan, the biggest pimp. Look to do it the right way, and hopefully you got the benefit from someone on the ground. And inshallah, you tune in every week here to the Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.